is here. We'll keep that conversation going off air because we know what projects they are. Okay, you're here at the fair. Thanks for stopping by. It's hot. And our booth's in a position where the sun is beating down.
I like his hat.
Yeah, he's got a great, got the New York PD hat. Each day, but it's hot right there, isn't it? Yeah, it is really hot. Okay, you're here. First of all, I thank you for coming out here for us and some other shows.
Thanks for having me. This
but
is
you're also,
always a treat.
You're also here for Motley Crue.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Okay, how many times have you watched?
This is going to be my second.
Second time.
I was telling the guys on the previous Remy and Weasel.
Great guys, right?
Great guys. And I love talking music. I love talking music. I love talking TV shows, movies, all that stuff.
But okay, like, we'll do that the first second. The team second second.
Motley, like Springsteen and Motley Crue, they're my two favorite. And, you know, very different. But growing up in the 80s, you know, the Crue was just, I don't know, they just, I just loved them. I loved them. But I just wasn't, I never like went to a ton of concerts. The one time I had a ticket to a Crue concert was the Girls, Girls, Girls tour. But I had a championship summer hockey game, and I was actually playing, our team was the Minnesota North Stars. This is out in Boston.
We played. This is growing up now?
Yeah. This is, I'm like 16, 17, whenever that came
right.
out. So all NHL teams, or some NHL teams are represented, but our coach was Smokey Cerrone.
Okay. Great name, by the
Smokey,
way.
Smokey was an old Minnesota North Star scout.
Okay.
My draft year was coming up.
Yep.
This summer hockey league was so important to him.
Yeah.
Jack Capuano, one of our new coaches.
Yeah, right.
He was one of my teammates, him and his brother. So I felt like I was going to let Smokey down, and you didn't want to let Smokey down, especially when your draft year is coming up.
Yes.
So I had to skip the Crue concert.
Yeah.
And
I think you made the right decision.
I think so too, but I it's always something that kind of nagged at me and ate at me. And finally last year I was able to see them at US Bank Stadium. And
how was the sound at US Bank? Because it can be hit and miss.
You know what? I thought it was great. You know what? I've heard that, but look, I'm not an expert either. So I go and I have a great time. And,
yep.
And I love seeing live music, and they're just the best. I love them.
Okay. How many people are you going to the concert with tonight?
Two. My wife and my son.
Wife and your son.
Yeah.
Okay. Is your son, are they also passionate Motley Crue fans, or are they going for the experience and knowing husband and dad love Motley Crue?
My wife is going, she likes them, but not to my level, and my son loves them.
Yeah. That's great. Listen, so my kids are in their 20s now, and when we can do things like this, when you can do adult things and have fun, it's such a cool experience, right?
With your kids, it's the best. It's the best. And like every stage of being a parent is great, some better than others. But having adult kids and being able to do this stuff with them is, I honestly, and I would love to go back and play my career over and do all that stuff and be in my 20s and 30s again. I would hit pause right now because of that relationship with our kids.
I agree with you 100%. Like, my oldest boy just found out that he landed a house. He's buying a house.
Oh, my God. And, that's huge.
Middle boy just bought one earlier, and they just have approached it in a methodical, smart way, and they've been great about it, and we've had fun together. It's just been fantastic. Okay, back to music. The best concert of your life is who and why? Because sometimes it's the band you love the most, but sometimes it's the circumstance that everything has to come together. I'll give you a couple while you think.
Yeah.
I was at, which now is the legendary U2 show here in town, which you probably have heard of, but it's before you came. They were at then TCF Bank Stadium, now Huntington Bank, where the Gophers play. It was delayed for a year, so it's 2012, I think.
Hmm.
And it's a day a lot like this, Billy, where it's hot and sunny, and then there's 50,000 of us, although now if you talk to people, there are 500,000, because apparently everybody was there. And it starts pouring. And Bono is playing Singing in the Rain. It's pouring so hard. It was like you were in a music video. So that one stood out to me. I saw The Who in 1989 when I was calling Double-A baseball for the Orlando Twins. Let's say my buddies and I were partying a little bit.
Yeah.
And we were living in Orlando. We went to Tampa. We got to the concert late. Guy says, I have three last tickets. You want them? $5 on the floor where the Tampa Bay Bucks played. So we saw The Who. And then the last one I'll say, Prince did six shows at the Dakota. 2000 and maybe 11, 12, something like that. And the Dakota, have you ever had a chance to see music at the Dakota?
No.
It's here in town, probably 300 people. And Prince is going in and out of the crowd.
Is that the blues?
It's a blues place. Yeah. A gentleman named Lowell Pickett owns it. And it's you and 200. It's you and 200 people, and Prince is playing for 3 hours.
See, that would
so
be,
those are three amazing ones.
Yeah, you know what? There have been a few Springsteen shows that I've really loved seeing. And I'm a big fan of his. And it just... it's just kind of the feeling you get there, you know. I saw U2 on the Joshua Tree tour. I was in high school, and that was
I did too.
That was a blowout. That was completely awesome. One of the really cool ones was my wife and I. We got invited to this show, Bon Jovi, in Red Bank, New Jersey. It was a Christmas time charity concert, so only 1,200 people in this theater, They invited me and a couple of guys from the Giants up on stage where they had this little four-stool bar set up.
Is this after you guys won the title right in that era?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I think it was that summer.
Oh, well, then so, your hero. That's
or that or that, that's that next season.
Okay.
So we're sitting up there, and Santa Claus is up there. He's serving bars, and it's a really cool, relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah.
They got a big, giant velvet Elvis hanging up, pinball machines on the stage. And he invited us, me and these guys from the Giants, to bring in a song. And so we're crowded around the mic with him.
Yeah.
And we...
is there footage of this somewhere?
I don't think so. There are no cameras. we brought in You Give Love a Bad Name with him. And it was
you have
just,
to, right?
It was just... I don't know. It was really cool, really intimate. But there's nothing like... nothing.
That's
like
right. Listen. Until I pass, I'm going to love live music.
Yeah.
And including... you know, the grandstand's fun. I was trying to think earlier.
I can't believe the quality shows that they get in are
really good.
Is Matchbox 20 tomorrow night?
I think so.
Last year we saw Duran there.
They've upped it pretty significantly.
Amazing.
You know, we were talking about it earlier. They used to have car races in that place sometimes every day.
Yeah.
Until like 20 years ago, I guess they stopped. Okay, television. Let's go to television, and then we'll pause and get to your club. Okay. For me, I haven't had a ton of good shows this summer. I don't know why I haven't hit. The Bear, I think we've talked about The Bear before. Are you a fan of The Bear?
Oh, you know what? Honestly, we started it.
It's very intense.
Why did we stop watching? No, we have to go back to it.
You have to go back.
But we watched that.
Let me just say that. The first two seasons of The Bear are fabulous. I thought this year, the third year, was like all the setup for the fourth season. And if they want to give me like two episodes and then we get to the third season, it was too much of a setup. I didn't like it.
Right.
Presumed Innocent, which has Jake Gyllenhaal. This is a Scott Turow. 8-part series, Apple. I thought it was good. And then a bunch of people
might have given me that last time that we...
Yeah, it's good. I don't think it's great, but it's good. And then a bunch of friends of mine are telling me about this Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen
it. Is it like
that.
Monkey?
I just finished Mayor of Kingstown, which I thought was awesome.
Our buddy Steens is always raving about
it. Yeah, that's a dynamite one. We just watched this 4-part series on Netflix. What is it? How to produce a drug scandal or something.
Oh, I've read about this.
And it was really interesting because it happened basically right in my hometown. Like, it happened in the Springfield, Mass area, and Boston, and it had to do with the drug crime labs, and tampering with it was
really interesting.
I thought it was excellent. And then I just watched The Offer with my wife.
What'd you think?
I loved it. That's the second time I saw it. I thought that was absolutely fantastic.
Okay, do you think, because you grew up there, and so many Boston teams have had success the last 20-some years, and again, your club has remarkable loyalty. This is no shot at Wild fans at all. Is Boston the most passionate sports town where you have lived?
Yeah. I mean, it's either that or New York.
Yep.
You know,
where are they tougher?
Oh, God. I that is definitely a toss-up. Honestly,
between those two,
yeah, Philly. I mean,
Philly's rough too,
I have
man.
A house down at the shore, but I've never played there. But they are.
I'd pick
they
them.
Are tough.
I'd
they,
pick them.
They are the harshest. I played plenty of games there, and yeah, they're relentless.
Wasn't that where you told me you almost got in a fight with? Was it behind the bench or something? Was it Philly where that happened?
I'm trying. Dallas.
To, Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Well, when I called Wolves games for 16 years. The most vicious fans, because that's when radio and TV sat courtside. Now mainly we're popped up higher. The Philly fans were just vicious.
They're
they'd be taking cheap shots at me. I'm just sitting there calling games.
That's easy, though.
Well, I gave them plenty of material. Okay, let's pause. Come back with Billy. We'll talk about the team. President of Hockey Operations, General Manager, Billy Guerin, next on CCO. Talking to some of the fans out here. Let's jump in. Okay, let's talk about the team.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Shogun.
Oh, that's number. Shogun. That's actually number one on my list.
Shogun.
Have you watched it yet?
Yes.
You know, actually recommended to me former Viking Robert Smith,
yeah.
Who you would like a ton. Robert was here in the 90s. I convinced Robert to start watching The Bear, and then he told me about Shogun, and it's an Emmy darling.
Remember back in like the 70s with Richard Chamberlain?
Oh, yeah.
They used to come on every year, like.
We used to have miniseries back then.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, Roots was probably the biggest one back then.
Or as we say on the East Coast, Roots.
Roots, yeah. Well, I also go sorry, and a lot of people say, hey, the Minnesotan in you is really coming out right there.
All right, we can talk hockey.
Okay, when do you guys gather for the first formal practice of training camp?
Camp opens on the 19th.
Okay, 19th.
We have rookie exhibition games the weekend prior to that, the 13th, 14th. And the rookies will be in, you know, a few days before that. But then we move forward. 19th is the first official day of camp, medicals, testing, all that stuff. And I believe we're on the ice the next day.
What is your mindset about this year?
Get our identity back. Get back to doing what we can do. Play the way that we have been known to play. And that will take care of the rest.
Why didn't that happen last year?
You know what? I think for a lot of reasons. I think, you know what? At times you know, hey, look, you put some years together, and then you can slip. And you know what? I'll take some of the blame on that. I've got to keep my thumb on things a little bit more consistently, I guess, during the year to not let that happen. I think a lot of the injuries, when you're missing, you know, key members of your team, the identity can tend to slip because you don't have that consistency. But we need to regain that, and I think when we do, you know, we can find our way back to the playoffs and working on getting better there and trying to win.
When you say you need to keep your thumb on that, what does that mean?
You know what? Look, everybody knows, I'm a big accountability guy. I'm a big do the right thing. And I think, you know what, maybe at times we were a little loose and we were slipping.
Is that on your veterans too?
I think there's I think it comes with, you know, it's a leadership thing. And you know what, I'll take some of the blame on that too. Like there's I don't think that's maybe the main thing, but I do think that's part of it. And, you know, I have to do a better job of it. I think John's going to have a great opportunity to do it. And, you know, veteran players that know what we're all about, you know, have some responsibility with that, too. And you know what? So do the younger guys. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
Old, young, whatever.
You have put a lot of trust in your veterans, though, right? We've talked about this many, many times. You made a decision that you felt like these guys could still play, sign them to contracts, felt like they were better than the potential uncertainty of going out to the market. You know, you trusted them. Not all of them lived up to that last year, right? Isn't that just fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it for different reasons, though. It's not for lack of trying or wanting or being in shape or this or that. You know, there were injuries. There were a lot of things that just go into it. It's not just another year older. I'm expecting them to be back in prime shape, ready to go, everybody improving on last year. That's what's expected.
Is everybody healthy?
Yes.
Okay.
So right now, you mentioned the uncertainty of other players. July 1 is a very exciting day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a lot of teams they signed this guy and this guy and this guy, and they're so much better. We'll see. And, you know, they sign them for 4, 5, 6 years. We'll see in 4, 5, 6 years how they're doing, too.
Yeah.
A lot of times July 1 can be a day of mistakes.
Is Jesper with you the entire year?
Most of it, probably not. The reason I say that is because we want to make sure that he's playing consistently, whether it's in Minnesota, whether it's in Iowa, we don't know yet. It's probably going to be a combination of both, but he's going to play here more than he did last year.
Where can Faber get better?
Everywhere.
Yep. It's the system. Everybody has to accept the system. And he was great. We talked about that a lot in your regular visits last year. Does it seem odd, though, that after 1 year he gets 8 years, $64 million?
Yep.
Yeah. Is that going to change?
Well, you know what? There's a couple ways of looking at it. And this, I fight with this, too, because, you know, I'm from a different generation. And I played 10 years before I got to, to really ring the bell. But do you want to put all that money into older players that are declining and you're paying them for what they have done? Or do you want to really kind of dive in, identify who is going to be one of your cornerstones, pay him for what's going forward, and a younger player? We are going to get Brock's best years.
Yeah. We're going to talk to Billy throughout the year. We'll talk a lot more hockey. During there, it's the fair. We had to have fun, right?
I prefer fun.
Yeah, we'll do fun. I appreciate the regularity.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. He's a good man. Billy Guerin with us out here at the fair.